வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாபியாம் நமஹா. ஐ ஹோப் த ஆடியோ வீடியோ தேர் ஆல் ஓகே. ஹோப்ஃபுல்லி ஓகே குட். விவேக சூடாமணி ஸ்லோகா 434. இஷ்டானிஷ்டார்த்த சம்ப்ராப்தௌ சமதர்ஷிதயாத்மனி உபயத்ராவிகாரித்வம் ஜீவன் முக்தஸ்ய லக்ஷணம். So we have seen earlier that a Jeevan Mukta also has got the Prarabdha Karma. Sanchita Karmas are burnt by Jnanam. Agami Karmas are avoided by Jnanam. But Prarabdha Karma can never be stopped. In fact, different Jeevan Muktas have different life conditions. Some of them are very popular. Some people are very unknown even. They are in some cave, somewhere in the Himalayas. Why? Prarabdha. Even name and fame are very heavily connected to Prarabdha only. That is why we may see people who have great name, but he is nothing worth. And the other person has all the qualifications, but no name at all. Again, Prarabdha. Because of the Prarabdha, what happens? Ishta anishtartha samprapthav. Favorable and unfavorable conditions. Ishta anishtartha samprapthav. Artha, here literally means object. Here we can take it as a condition. Artha normally means object, but here we can take a condition. So the grossest level, health and diseases, yeah, jnani also can get all of them. Similarly, honor, dishonor, samprapthav, atmani, ubhayatva, avikaritva. Atma here means mind, not the Sachidananda Atma. So, avikaritvam, balanced state of mind, no vikaras. So, he sees it as a role of prarabdha only, even if he gets honor, dishonor, any disease, any of health, any of those things. He accepts the opposite experiences and ubhayatra. Ubhayatra means in both favorable and unfavorable conditions. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, we have seen all those things earlier. Sama dukkha sukha swastaha, sama loshtasma kanchanaha, tulya priya priyo dhiraha, tulya nindatma samstutihi, manapa manayoho tulyaha, tulya mitrari pakshayoho. So, all those things we have seen. So, sarvaramba parityagi, gunatitaha, sauchyate, 14 chapters. We have seen many of those things in the Bhagavad Gita. So, how does this person enjoy the balance of circumstances which could be directly opposite? What is the secret of keeping his balance for the jnani? Sama darshitaya, because he doesn't forget his swarupam, his nature, the samam brahma. So samadarshanam nama brahma darshanam atma darshanam. So samadarshanam, because of the vision of the higher nature, avikaritvam, he enjoys balance because of that. That is Jeevan Muktasya Lakshana. And again, we should remember that this transformation in the form of enjoying a balanced mind is not going to be a sudden thing. We should remember that always. Even though we describe Jeevan Mukta as though, you know, that person is as a black and white division, even though we mention it here as a black and white division, but it is not a sudden transformation at all. It is not a sudden transformation. So, as Swamiji Sinyananda, he says, it is not a revolution, but evolution it is. And we have seen that in this clue many times earlier, the disturbing reaction we have to watch in ourselves all the time. We have to watch our reactions, taking three factors into account. We have told this earlier, the frequency of reaction, the intensity of reaction, and the recovery period from any problem. So, they become gradually less and less. Frequency means what? The number of times the mind gets disturbed. For some people, it is not possible to count the number of times at all because he is always disturbed. For such people, if one is able to count itself, that is a big progress. As someone said, peace is the gap between two wars. Therefore, the frequency gets reduced. And intensity, we have seen that also. How to measure the intensity? The intense disturbances, they express at three levels. Through the thought level, word level, body level, manasam, vachikam, kayikam, all that thing. So Arjuna said in the Bhagavad Gita, Sidanti mama gatrani, mukancha parishushyati, vepatushya sarireme, romakarshastha jayate, first chapter. So intense emotion that leads to bodily disturbances even. When it continues, it becomes even psychosomatic. So less intense disturbance expresses at two levels. The manasa level and the vachika level. At the mental level and at the world level. So least intense disturbance or feeble disturbance expresses only in one level. That is at the mental level. Mental disturbance. Only then it will come to be manageable condition. And the third is what? Recovery period. So frequency, intensity and the recovery period. How long this disturbance continues in my mind? It becomes less and less. So one can make it finer and finer. It is a lifelong exercise. It cannot just go away in one day. No question of zero. So avikaritvam, etc., they should not be taken as absolute. There is reduction of disturbances. No question of zero disturbance. It will have zero disturbance. When it will happen? It will happen only in Videha Mukti. We can add one more point also here. Once we reduce these three sufficiently, we will find that we do not disturb the world also. We don't get disturbed. We don't disturb the world also. When our disturbance is beyond a particular limit, our disturbance is transferred to other people. When reduced sufficiently, the disturbance is confined to myself. And thereafter, the sadhana is very different. And that is, even these disturbances belong to whom? They all belong to anatma only. So why should I be so much obsessed with reducing them to zero? No need. I understand now through jnanam that all these disturbances, reactions, they all belong to anatma. If I am over obsessed with reaction, that is also another type of reaction. So Krishna, he tells in the 14th chapter, prakashancha pravrittincha mohamevacha pandava. The very desire to keep my mind always sattvic, that is also another attachment only. It's a good mind, noble mind, but that is also another form of attachment. We work for sattva mind, but that also should not become an obsession. Let some amount of rajas and tamas, let them come and go. After some time, nididhyasana means I should not be worried too much about viparita bhavana also. Too much worry about viparita bhavana is another type of viparita bhavana. So relax. So the last traces, they all get reduced if you become indifferent to them. So they are there, but we become indifferent to them. We had just note them. Yes, those things come and go. As they say, when you go to at a particle level, even the very observation of the object changes its nature. In psychology also, when the disturbances are so minute, we have reduced, we need not work for them. Just being aware of them itself will change them. Therefore, sarvatra avikaritvam should be properly understood. We are not going to reduce it to zero, but we are going to only understand that they may be there. It doesn't affect me. I am not bothered about them. Shloka 435. Brahmanandarasa swadham asakta chittata yayatehe antar bahira vijnanam jivan muktasya lakshanam. Only the mithyatva buddhi, that becomes sufficiently strong. That is looking at the world as mithya. That mithyatva buddhi, that becomes sufficiently strong. One's eagerness to improve the mithya also is reduced. We don't have to, that mithyatva buddhi, no need. Even Vedanta sadhana is eagerness to improve what? We do so much of Vedanta study and sadhana for what? One's mind only. One wants to convert the ignorant mind to a wise intellect. That is also an eagerness to improve the mithya intellect. Because intellect is also mithya. Therefore, one should always have the eagerness to improve the mithya
up to a particular level because one wants to convert tamas into rajas to sattva reasonably. Because that is the aim. The tamasic mind should get converted to rajasic mind to sattvic mind reasonably. Thereafter, even over-eagerness to improve mithya becomes another problem. And that is most important. Because when one is too much worried about changing the mithya, constant dwelling upon them, mithya will can get converted to satyam. Keep on telling the lie 100 times, 200 times, over and over. It becomes satyam at one point. Due to the momentum of repeated thinking, it gains reality. So, this is the pratibhasika gradually becomes vyavaharika. That's what they call Vedanta. And how do you know it has become real? Because one begins to react to that. And how do you know it has become? Because that the moment you react, then it becomes real. And the reaction is at what level? Vyavaharika or pratibhasika level? It is at vyavaharika level, it is real. For the pratibhasika thing, and then the blood pressure of the thing is increases because the reaction has become so much, which has not come at all yet, suddenly it becomes. Therefore, our mind has the capacity to be obsessed, you know, to convert an unreal thing into a real thing. So, if I want to be obsessed with something, let it be on satyam. Let it not be on mithya. If I have to be obsessed with something, let obsession be on satyam. So, Brahma Ananda Rasa Aswada Asakta Chittaha. We have to learn, we have to rearrange the words and read it like that. So, this is Brahma Ananda Rasa Aswada Asakta Chittaha. Beyond a certain level of anatma, Beyond a certain level of anatma improvement, jnani is more concerned about what? Owning up, claiming up his swarupam. Chittam asaktam. Sthirapragna's mind is more concerned, asaktam, interested in Brahma Ananda Rasa. The rasa means the taste of purnatvam. Purnatvam of what? Brahman. Which is his swarupam, his nature. So he is more concerned about owning his swarupam. He does not want to get over obsessed with transforming the mithya. He has no delusion of revolution of the world or changing the world. It seems Swamiji said that when I started to teach, I thought I can convert everyone, change everyone. That's what he thought. And later he said, and now I have understood, I cannot change anyone. In fact, they change me. No such delusion at all for a jnani. Because of the establishment of his mind in his real nature, in this knowledge, antar bahihi avijnanam. He is not obsessed with or over worried about antaha. Antaha means what is inside his mind, and bahihi, what is outside of the mind in the world. He is not obsessed by any of them. He is not concerned about the inner anatma or outside. Avijnanam. Jivan Muktasya Lakshanam. That is the trait of a Jivan Mukta. Shloka 436. Dehendriyadhau kartavye mamaham bhava barjitaha audasin yena yasthishtet Sas Jivan Mukta Lakshanaha. So as was said before, as long as Prarabdha Karma is there, Jivan Mukta has a body. And as long as there is a body, the Ahankara is going to be there. We cannot change it. Ahankara is going to be there in that body. Because the life of Ahankara is determined by Prarabdha. If Ahankara is not there, for example, Prarabdha will fall dead. Therefore, Jnani also will definitely have Ahankara. And that is also the reason why when his stomach is hungry, Jnani's stomach also is hungry, he feels hungry. If Ahankara is not there, what will happen? He has got the I Buddhi, Atma. And so, I will be hungry when anyone is hungry. because sarvatra samadrishtaka, right? So everybody is hungry, I will also be hungry. Similarly, if a mosquito bites someone, as Swamiji says, I will also start scratching my skin. These are all mystic interpretations of Vedanta. All those are not there at all. Ahankara will be there. It is an enlightened ahankara. It is a functioning ahankara. It is a non-burdensome ahankara. There is no binding ahankara at all for a jnani. It is like the ahankara required, for example, eating. While eating, do we deliberately think, where is my body, where is my mouth, and how I have to order my hand to take the food and deliver it into the mouth? We don't think of any of those. We have just sufficient ahankara, which may even call it as instinct perhaps, with which we are able to eat, brush our teeth. We don't put the brush in someone else's mouth. Jnani has got sufficient identification to do what he has to do. If he is a family person, he has got sufficient identification to know who are his children and who are neighbor's children. And I know what are mine. That much ahankara will be there for a jnani. Therefore, jnana does not have a binding ahankara. And that is what is said here. Deha indriyadav aham varjitaha. Jnani does not have a binding identification with the body and the sense organs. Aham bhava, that has to be connected with deha and indriya. And because of the functioning ahankara, which we call it maybe as empirical ahankara or enlightened ahankara, even that is better, there will be duties also for him. Even for a sannyasi, if he is in the midst of a society, he has certain duties. And if he is part of the creation, he has duty to the environment, even if he is in a forest. With respect to the duties, jnani does not have binding mamakara. The pressure to finish duty, this duty and that duty, and so pressure to survive, because I have got all these duties to do, so I have to survive to finish all of them. So those pressures. So jnani is also aware of his duties towards his shishyas also. Jnani has even more duty towards his shishyas, to make them understand whatever he teaches. Because if he doesn't teach properly, and if they don't understand properly, na buddhi bedam janayet, that's what Krishna said, he can cause buddhi beda. So he has to be even more careful. So if he has a setup like an ashrama or something, then he has got the duty to the ashrama. And he has to select the next incumbent also properly. Oh, he selected some shishya, that guy is useless. No. All those problems will come for a jnani also. Therefore, jnani is aware of his empirical duties or functional duties, whatever it is, depending upon his ashrama. But he does not have strong mamakara, because both belong to what? Anatma. Therefore, they are mithya. Mamakara also belong to anatma, so they are mithya, and so it cannot be given absolute reality. So one should give sufficient reality. We cannot give absolute reality, but one should give sufficient reality to do one's duty, but not to bind or to burden oneself. So they give, for example, in a different context, they give an example for explaining how Veda mantras have to be recited. We can use it here, for example. When a tigress, a female tiger, it holds its baby by its teeth to take it from one place to another. Normally, they even give the example of there is some fire and there is a stream, and the tiger has to cross the stream holding its baby. How strong the tiger should bite the baby? It should be, because it has to, naturally it has to carry it with its mouth. For that it has to bite it. How strong the bite should be? It should be sufficient enough so that the baby should not fall, but it should not be too strong to hurt the baby and kill it also. This is an example Shastras they give regarding how the Veda mantras have to be recited. Yata vyagro haret putran damshtrabhyam achapetayet bhita patana bheda bhyam tattat varnan prayojayet. So the way how the mantras have to be handled and recited, that's what, as a tiger would hold its cub in the mouth to cross, how it has to be gentle, it has to be strong both ways. Similarly, sufficient reality should be given so that the jnani is not considered an irresponsible person. Otherwise, they will say, oh, this guy is not doing his duty, he's irresponsible. At the same time, he should not be too much to hurt him. So that much aham, mama, both should be there. Ahankara and mamakara, that much should be there, but not binding ones. They should not become binding. And this attitude is called audasinya bhavaha. In this shloka, this audasinya bhavaha is this. Enjoying a non-binding ahankara. Yaha tishtet. So when there are many duties, while the samsari is anxious, because samsari, the moment he gets so much duties, he gets anxious. A jnani is not anxious, but others may even scold him as irresponsible. Oh, your daughter is not married yet, son is not married yet, you are just sitting quiet, oh, you are so irresponsible. They will say all those. But the jnani knows how to remain unbound by all those duties. Those duties are there, but he knows how to remain unbound. Duties means kartrutva, the doership. And because of that, bhoktrutva. So, Shankaracharya, he points out, they have got only a functioning role and not a binding role. In Shastra, there is another example. They call it actually, you know, bharjita bija, a roasted seed, a seed that is roasted. The roasted seed, it continues to be a seed. It is useful for many purposes also, maybe even tasty. For example, certain nuts like the peanuts or the cashews and almonds and all, when they are roasted, they even taste better. But it cannot do one thing. What is that? It cannot germinate. Similarly, jnana agnina, by the fire of knowledge, the ahankara seed has been roasted for a jnani. And because of that, his ahankara has wonderful virtues, like the taste of a roasted seed. Like what are his wonderful virtues of a jnani? Ahimsa, satyam, karuna, tushti, dhairyam, dhritihi, purnatvam, ananda. They are all the various tastes of purnatvam for a jnani. So these are all the tastes added to the roasted ahankara. But one thing it cannot do. What is that one thing it cannot do? One thing it cannot do, it cannot germinate into samsara. It cannot generate bondage. Therefore, he says, audasinyena eva yaha tishtet. The ahankara plays the role. But nothing is carried forward. He is not anxious about his karta or bhokta roles. He continues to do them, but he is not anxious about them. He has no worry at all about any of those things at all he is doing. One is worried maybe for so many other things about fulfilling the responsibilities. When that worries come, what causes them? It is the karta that causes all those burdens. And when he is worried about what the family members are going to think and all, when the person is going to think all that thing, then what is functioning? The bhokta. The bhokta I is becoming a burden. So they only have all this ad hoc existence at the time of performance and thereafter. It stands aside. It means what? The karta, bhokta, ahankara. This attitude is called audasinyam. It is not indifference. Normally, audasinyam we translate into in English as indifference. That is not the correct translation. Such an attitude is Jivan Muktasya Lakshanam. Shloka 437. Vijnana Atmano Yasya Brahma Bhava Shruter Balat Bhava Bandavi Nirmuktaha Sajivan Mukta Lakshanaha. Atmanaha Brahma Bhavaha Vijnataha. The Brahman status of his self has been recognized by whom? By the jnani. As we have said many times earlier, Brahman is not a new entity which we have to find. These are all fundamental things, they have to be very clear in our mind. Brahman is not a new entity which we have to find, because we use the word Brahman as a noun. And we describe Brahman as what? Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam and all that. And then there can be a misconception that there is an entity called Brahman which we have to experience, which we have to find, we have to come across and all that. But in reality, we will know that Brahman is not a new entity, but it is a new status of I, the already known, the evident Atma. So the entity is I and Brahman is the status of I. And what is that status? Limitlessness. Therefore, Jnani has recognized the limitless status of himself. And limitless means what? Deha, Kala, Vastu, Paricheta, Shunyatvam. We have seen this also earlier. Free from the limitations of the Desha, space, Kala, time and property, Vastu, Paricheta. So, all those property or attributes. So, this Brahma Bhavaha, Purnatvam ityartaha. So, Purnatvam of oneself, Vijnataha, had been known. And how did he know? Has he anything special to know that? No. Shruter Balat, with the help of Shruti, with the help of Vedas, the Upanishadic teaching, which is already available in creation, with the strength of Shruti, actually here strength means teaching. Shruti Pramanam it Pramanena ityartaha. So, when Brahma Bhava of oneself is recognized, Jiva Bhava, otherwise known as Apurnatvam status, gets displaced. So, Brahma Bhava is Purnatvam status and Jiva Bhava is Apurnatvam status that gets displaced. That is, before coming to Vedanta, I enjoyed Jiva Bhava or Apurnatvam. I would like to say I enjoy Jiva Bhava, but I don't want to say Apurnatvam. And after grasping the teaching, there is another new property given, which is Purnatvam or Brahma Bhavaha. But here, the peculiarity is what? Previously, I had Apurnatvam, Shruti gives me Purnatvam, then can I retain both of them? We cannot. Why? This also we have seen earlier. Remember, opposite properties cannot coexist. For example, a person is tall. The tallness and fatness, he is tall and also fat, they can coexist. Since they are not opposite attributes, but tallness and smallness cannot coexist. I cannot be tall and small together. Similarly, Jiva Bhava, Apurnatvam, and Brahma Bhava, Purnatvam, they can never coexist. Therefore, as I grasp Brahma Bhava, Purnatvam, I have to necessarily renounce or give up Jiva Bhava or Apurnatvam. I have to give that up. This is called displacement of Adhyasa by knowledge in technical language. So, Adhyasa is false Apurnatvam or superimposed Apurnatvam by knowledge of Purnatvam. So, this is the essence of actually Shankaracharya's Adhyasa Bhashya. We have mentioned about this earlier also. Once I know the ripeness of the object, necessarily the ropeness of, when you, this also example we have given, when the ropeness of an object, once we know, the snakeness has to be displaced. I cannot say it is rope also and snake also. It is not possible. So, Bhava Bandha Vinirmuktaha. Because of the arrival of Purnatvam, Bhavabandha, Bhavabandham, Bhavaha means samsara. Apurnatvam, samsara, which is bandha, which is bondage. I am tied to what? Desha and Kala, space and time. I am spatially limited, I am time-wise limited, and therefore I am bound to the cycle of Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam. From the Apurnatva bondage, Vinirmuktaha. The Jnani is totally free. And again, remember, this Apurnatvam or limitation is not a property which I remove. Because if Apurnatvam is a property, it can never be converted to Purnatvam. Because Apurnatvam property means what? Finite. By any amount of process, finite can never be converted to infinite. Therefore, remember, I don't eliminate Apurnatvam, but I only drop the Apurnatvam notion in the intellect. That Therefore, there is only an intellectual change. There is no physical change or not even spiritual change. Because unfortunately, spirit, the Atma, can never undergo any change. So no change is happening outside. A change happens inside only. A change happens only in my thinking. And what is that? I thought I am Apurnaha. I now know that is only a notion. So intellectually, I am dropping that notion, that misconception from my mind. It is a cognitive change at the level of knowledge. That is why the Upanishad repeatedly says, Buddhi is the instrument required for jnanam and elimination of this notion. Drishyate tu agriyaya buddhya sukshmaya. The whole thing is in your knowledge. And therefore, bhava bandha vinirmuktaha means free from the notion of apurnatvam. And such a apurnatvam is incomplete. And such a person is called jivanmukta. Shloka 438. Dehendriyeshvaham bhavaha idam bhavastadanyake yasya no bhavata kvapi sajivanmukta ishyate. So deha indriyeshu aham bhavaha no bhavati. The jnani, he never entertains the I notion in body or sense organs, etc. etc. means mind, intellect, all those. So he never entertains the I notion in the body, sense organs, mind, intellect, all of them. So when I entertain the I abhimana in the body, mind, etc., what do I have? I have a localized I, a finite I, a divided I, or even a secluded, isolated I. This is called aham bhavaha. And once my I is confined to a small area, that is the body, etc., naturally there are many things outside of me. Since I am located here and there are infinite things outside, which are referred to as idam in this shloka, idam. So tadanyake, upon everything else, other than the body, mind and sense organs, so upon everything else, what is the notion? Idam. Means what? This is desk, this is computer, this is mic, this is light, all that. So the word idam in grammar is a third person. By using the third person, I indirectly declare that there are all other things other than me. They are all away from me. Thus, I create a division in the world, in the form of first person, second person, third person. The first person is ahankara, which allows the second person and third person. And if the first person is Brahman, there cannot be second and third person at all. Why? Brahman includes everything. So if the first person is ahankara, then it will allow second and third person. Brahman includes everything. Therefore, I will include ahamannam, ahamannam, ahamannam. Ahamannado, ahamannado, ahamannadaha. Ahaggishloka krita, ahaggishloka krita, ahaggishloka krita, Taittiriya Upanishad. So, aham eva idagum sarvam. So, everything is me. So, the real I cannot accommodate the second and third person. It is only the ego I, ahankara I, that can accommodate the second person and third person. And once the second person and third person, they come, then comes all kinds of problems. I want to expand myself by getting things. I want to reject some of the things. And there is another more desire. Actually, more than all that, there is another important desire. I don't want to be rejected by anyone. Already when I feel I am small individual, that my existence itself is doubtful to me. Because the vaster the world, the smaller I am. Therefore, there is a constant fear of rejection from the world. I think people reject me. That is why I want everyone to talk to me. I want everyone to inquire about me. So that I am sure I exist. If no one asks about me, you know, normally people old, when they grow old, many times this is a common thing. They say, why would not people ask whether I am alive or dead? இன் தமிழ் தேசே நான் இருக்கேனா செத்து போனேனான்னு கூட கேட்க மாட்டேங்கிறா. பீப்புள் நார்மலி சே ஆல் தோஸ் திங்ஸ். திஸ் இஸ் ஒன் ஆஃப் த பிக்கஸ்ட் சைக்கலாஜிக்கல் ப்ராப்ளம்ஸ் விச் க்ரோஸ் மோர் அண்ட் மோர் இன்டென்ஸ் ஆஸ் எ பர்சன் க்ரோஸ் ஓல்ட். பிகாஸ் வென் யங் வி கான்ட்ரிபியூட் சம்திங் டு த சொசைட்டி அண்ட் ஃபேமிலி, வி ஃபீல் வி ஆர் யூஸ்ஃபுல், வி ஆர் கான்ட்ரிபியூட்டிங், தேர் ஃபோர் ஐ ஆம் ப்ரூவிங் மை செல்ஃப், தட்ஸ் வாட் ஐ திங்க் வென் ஐ எம் யங். அண்ட் அஸ் ஐ க்ரோ ஓல்ட் மை கான்ட்ரிபியூஷன் பிகம்ஸ் லெஸ் அண்ட் லெஸ். And therefore, I myself doubt whether I am there or not. And I feel others also are not interested in me. These are all various. So, yavad vitto parjana saktaha, tavat nija parivaro raktaha, pascha jivati jarjara dehe, varto kopi na prichyati gehe. Acharya says in Padagovindam, as long as you yearn, you are a VIP, as Swamiji says. Once you stop yearning, you are only an IP, an insignificant person. So one of the fundamental expressions of samsara is what? The fear of rejection by others. And this fear will continue as long as I am limited. I am isolated person. Jnani does not have this problem. He is aware that no one can reject me. Because the entire world is existing in me. How can a mithya prapancha reject satyam? Adhishtanam. Satyam is adhishtanam. It cannot. Suppose the dream people, they start rejecting the waker. How senseless it would be. The very dream is existing because of the waker. Therefore, I know mayeva sakalam jatam mayi sarvam pratishtitam. Therefore, I have no fear of rejection at all. And even the desire for even seeking approval. Some people want approval by others. That is another psychological problem. All these are because of isolation. They are not there for a Jivan Mukta. Many people, till you agree to what they say, they won't leave. Because they are so convinced. Otherwise, they think that you are either neglecting them or they need your approval. Therefore, I notion in the body and this notion in the world are no bhavataha. Means naiva bhavataha. No bhavataha means naiva bhavataha. Never happens. Will it happen at least in a weak moment of a person, of the jnani? He says, kvapi, at any time, it does not arise. Saha, jivan muktaha ishyate. Sloka 439. Na pratyak brahmanor bhedham kadapi brahma sargayoho prajnayayo vijanati சஜீவன் முக்த இஷ்யதே. ஆக்சுவலி திஸ் ஃபேக்ட், திஸ் ஸ்லோகா இஸ் ஓன்லி அன் எக்ஸ்பிளனேஷன் ஆஃப் த ப்ரீவியஸ் ஸ்லோகா. வை ஞானி டசன் ஹாவ் தி ஃபஸ்ட் செகண்ட் அண்ட் தேர்ட் பர்சன். ஸோ ஆச்சாரியா சேஸ், ஞானி டஸ் நாட் சி எனி டிவிஷன் பிட்வீன் த த்ரீ திங்ஸ். அண்ட் வாட் ஆர் தோஸ் த்ரீ? ஜீவாத்மா, பரமாத்மா அண்ட் தி ஜகத், the world or the universe. He never sees any separation or any gap or division between these three. So he says, pratyak brahmanoho vedam na vijanati. Pratyak means jivatma. Brahma means paramatma. Vedam means division, separation. Na vijanati kadapi, at any time. He does not see divisions in all the three. Any time. Why? Because he knows Jivatma is Sachidananda Swarupaha, Paramatma is also Sachidananda Swarupaha, and therefore they are only two names for one and the same Chaitanyam. And if you ask why two names when the Chaitanyam is only one, then he says that the two names are given from the referential standpoint. Just as, for example, a person is called a father in the context of a family. And the same person is called the CEO in the context of his corporation. The first person is one and the same. Similarly, one and the same Chaitanyam, Vyashti Drishtya Jivatma Ityuchyate. At the individual level, it is called the Jivatma. Samashti Drishtya Paramatma Ityuchyate. So, at the total level, it's called the Paramatma. Swarupataha Ekameva. Both are same, only same Chaitanyam, no difference at all. Therefore, there are two names but one entity. And just as there are no division between Jivatma and Paramatma, Brahma Sargayoho, the Jnani does not see any distance separation between Brahma, the Paramatma, and Sarga. Sarga means the created world, the universe. He doesn't see any distinction between them also. Why? Because he knows one is Karanam, the other is Karyam. Brahman is Karanam, the world is Karyam or the effect. Therefore, the Karyam world cannot exist separate from the Karanam Brahma, the causal Brahma. Tad ananyatvam arambana sabdadibhyaha. That is how in Brahma Sutra, Acharya, there is a full section. This is that it talks about only this. Paramatma plus Namarupa is world. There is no substance called world other than Paramatma. Therefore, there is no Jivatma separate from Paramatma and there is no world separate from Paramatma. Therefore, what is there is only Paramatma. Iti vijanati. He knows. He knows thus. And how does he know that? Prajnaya. Through the eye of wisdom, which is generated through jnanam. Guru Shastra Upadesha Janya Jnanena. By the jnanam gained, born out of the Upadesha of the Guru and Shastras. Vijanati, he knows. Saha Jivan Mukta Muktaha Ishyate. Of course, most of these descriptions are such that only a person will know whether he has this knowledge or not. You know, if you look at all these descriptions, only the person who has the knowledge alone will know whether he knows or not. He has the knowledge or not. Now see, there are two types of description now, if you really look at it. Certain types of descriptions, other people cannot know. For example, whether I have got ekatva buddhi or not. How will others will know? Because that is internal. It is an internal quality, internal trait. Ekatva buddhi, looking at everything as one. You may only guess, okay, this person should be a scholar, he should be a jnani, so he may have that. One can only guess, but one cannot see. Dukkeshu anudvignamanaha sukeshu vigataspruhaha. That's what Krishna said. There are certain characteristics we can find out because it will come out at the external level. Like shanti in a crisis. Person, he is very poised, he is very equanimous even during a crisis. The balance. So when there is mana, apamana, whether it is honor or disgrace, at that time the person he is balanced. So some of them will flow at the physical and verbal level. But many of them are only at the mental level. Therefore, one cannot judge others. And as we have often said, this description is again not for judging others, but only to know where I stand. We should never be judgmental about the other person. Shloka 440. Sadhubi pujyamano manesmin pidyamane pi durjanaihi samabhavo bhavetyasya sajivan mukta ishyate. Actually, Shankaracharya himself feels perhaps he wants to give some other characteristics which will be visible outside. Because go on telling everything is abstract, it's only internal, people cannot even know, they may even lose faith. For example, they say that face is the index of the mind. Therefore, there are certain inner conditions which will definitely reflect at the physical and verbal level. So, Shankaracharya gives here an example. Pujyamane sadhubihi. When this jnani is glorified, pujyamane, worshipped, honored by other seekers or noble people, sadhubihi, because he knows the jnanis are respected. They're respected by only spiritual people. Shankaracharya knows that. Jnanis, who is going to respect the jnani? Spiritual people. Because the materialistic people will not do that because what will they get out of it? Because he is materialistic. By praising them, what does he get? They are not interested in Saraswati. They are interested only in Lakshmi. Now we used to have a colleague, you know, previous temple, who always calls a person who got PhD, he is only a Saraswati doctor. Whereas a person who is an MD, he is a Lakshmi doctor. Saraswati doctor only has knowledge but doesn't make money. Whereas the MD doctor, he is Lakshmi doctor, he makes money. That's what he used to tell. That is why Shankaracharya, he uses the word sadhubihi pujyamane. These jnanis, when they are worshipped by spiritual people, samabhavaha. He does not feel elated or enamored or carried away by such honors. Even that is relatively easier perhaps. But what is more difficult is what? Durjanaihi pidyamane. When he is harassed or taunted, teased by Durjanaihi, the non-spiritual people who do not recognize the glory of a jnani, that the very existence of a jnani in a society, they don't even recognize. In Tamil, there is a saying that Nallar Oruvar Ularayan. In a society, if there is only one noble person is there, it will bless the entire society. But that blessing is an invisible blessing. You cannot see it. It is not a material advantage. So these people who have only the eye for material benefit, they will not see any benefit in a jnani's existence. In fact, they will even say, when there are so many mouths to feed, the jnanis, they don't contribute anything to society, but they take bhiksha regularly. So durjanas, they will criticize them, the bad people. They will criticize them because they don't know. So in both of them, samabhavaha, the one who enjoys equanimity. When pida comes, he thinks of it as some exhaustion of papa prarabdha. Because he also has prarabdha. Prarabdha again has come out of punya papa. So he thinks when pida, some kind of, so those kinds of disgrace and all, when they come, he thinks it is exhaustion of some papa prarabdha. And when he gets worshipped, he takes some, you know, as the same thing as some exhaustion of punya prarabdha. Because of that samabhavaha, because of that reason, and it is not a wonder for him. Because the very life is meant for what? Exhaustion of punya and papa, which is a natural course that is happening. He accepts it. He sees everything as prarabdhaya samarpitam swavapuhu ityesha manisha mama. As Manisha Panchakamacharya said, so prarabdhaya samarpitam saha jivan muktaha ikshyate. Such a person is called a jivan mukta. Incidentally, we have to also see, Swamiji mentions an aside point. A karma yogi, this actually I have mentioned it in Bhagavad Gita lectures, but here we will mention again. A karma yogi also is samabhavaha. Karma yogi is, karma yoga is what? Samatvam yoga uchyate. That is how it was defined. Sukha dukhe same krutva labha labho jaya jayao. So, same krutva. If karma yogi has got samabhava and jnani also has samabhava, then what is the difference between a karma yogi and a jnani yogi? And a jnani? Both of them are one and the same. Why should even I become a jnani? Because becoming jnani is a big headache. One should be sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. Then one has to go to shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. It's a lifelong exercise, very tough. Why can't I be a karma yogi? Remember, again, the samabhava of a karma yogi is a precariously existing, shaking samabhava. Because it does not have the firm support of knowledge. So, a karma yogi samatvam is called apekshika samatvam. And a jnani samatvam is called atyantika samatvam. And Swami Dayananda, actually he uses a nice pair of words here. Karma yogi samatvam is deliberately practiced samatvam. There is a will, there is effort involved. And often failure is involved in a karma yogi samatvam. Whereas a jnani samatvam is no more deliberate. It is spontaneous samatvam. There is no effort or will. It has become a second nature for a jnani. So he has samatva nishtha. That is how Swamiji describes these two words. Shloka 441. Yatra pravishta vishaya pareritaha nadi pravaha iva varirashau liyanti sanmatratayana vikriyam utpadayantyesha yatirvimuktaha. So in this shloka, Shankaracharya, he paraphrases the well-known Bhagavad Gita shloka of second chapter. We have seen this also earlier. Apuryamanam achalapravishtam samudramapa pravishanti vishyadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti kamayam pravishanti sarve sa shanti mapnoti na kama kami. So this shloka we have seen, a beautiful definition of Jivan Mukta by comparing him to a ocean. Ocean is deep, it is ever full. Similarly, jnani also is deep and full. And so he is calm also because of that.
full vessel, you know, it never makes no noise. Purna kumbham nakaroti shabdam. Only empty vessel makes a lot of noise. Now, Krishna says, varieties of rivers, they enter the ocean. The ocean continues to be full. It does not overflow. It is not polluted also. So many rivers, they come. And if the rivers feel that they are all giving waters to the ocean to keep it full, what the ocean will say? It will only smile, because the ocean knows that the rivers themselves, they get water only because of ocean. Similarly, jnani is like an ocean. Varieties of experiences enter him. Shabda rupena, sparsha rupena, rupa rupena, rasa rupena, gandha rupena, all of them. Normally, a samsari gets disturbed by all of them. Either out of happiness, it overflows, he gets elated. We call it elation. He loses his balance. Or because of sorrow, because he becomes very dry. Either he gets very elated or he becomes very depressed. All those things, a samsari goes through. Like a tank, for example, a local tank becoming full because of ativrishti or dry due to anavrishti. Ativrishti means excessive rain. Anavrishti means no rain. A samsari is like a pond, whereas a jnani is like an ocean. There is not even an iota of ananda for him from the world of vishayas, from the world of sense objects. He doesn't get any pleasure, any ananda from any of them. Vishayaha yatra pravishtaha. Varieties of sensory experiences, they enter the jnani. Yatra, yatra means here jnani's mind. And what type of sensory experiences? Para iritaha. Actually, the iritaha, that is two meanings here actually. The which are brought they mean iritaha. One is all these vishayas brought about by others. And para uktaha, uttered by other people. Uktaha. So if you take the first meaning as brought by others, that means what? All sensory experiences caused by others. And when we take the second meaning, then the sensory experience will refer to only the words spoken by others. So if iritaha vishayaha, all sensory external experiences, shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, all those experiences, if you take it as iritaha vishayaha, and if you take the uktaha, only shabda experience, that is alone. Then the question is, why should Shankara say sensory experience caused by others? These are sensory experiences caused by other people. Why should he say that? It is because jnani is not after any sensory experience. Because he does not have any desires at all. So, prarabdha vashat vishayaha pravishtaha bhavanti. Experience enters the mind. Like what? Nadi pravahaha vari rasau iva. Gives an example. Streams of rivers. Pravaha means pravaha, streams of rivers. Pravishtaha, that we have to supply here. Like the streams of rivers, they enter where? Vari rashihi. Rashihi is ocean actually. Vari rashihi, huge reservoir is rashihi. Vari is water. So as they enter with so much speed and momentum, they all subside. Even though all the rivers, they all enter into the large reservoir, namely the ocean. Some huge rivers, Amazon kind of rivers, they are huge, supposed to be very ferocious rivers also. They all, when they enter into the ocean, however much momentum or speed with which they may enter into the ocean, they just get subdued. Similarly, all the sensory experiences, linanti, layam, prapnuvanti, they resolve without disturbing the mind of a jnani, either positively or negatively. Disturbances can be of either way. But either way, he doesn't lose his balance. They all resolve. Like what? Sanmatrataya. Because what does a jnani do? He removes all the namarupa. Whenever anything is presented to him, what he does first? He removes the namarupa. Because he knows varieties belong to only nama and rupa. Essentially, every experience is nothing but Satchidatma only. That is himself.
like Ganga, Kaveri, all those rivers, they are all nothing but what? They are all water plus Nama Rupa only. In the vision of the wise ocean, it is not Ganga or even, in Madras we have this Kuvam, whatever it is. So it is not the Ganga, this one that enters. Only water enters into the ocean in the vision of the ocean. I am that full water whose fullness is not affected by any of those. Na karmana vardhate no kaniya, neither subject to increase nor decrease. Sa sanmatra thaya. So such a person, pure, the pure existence. So they are not seen as experience, but as Satchit Atma. Swami Simhyananda, he tells actually a story. One devotee wanted to sell his idols. He had some gold idols of Rama, Sita, Lakshmana and Hanuman. He became into some bad times or whatever it is. He wanted to sell them. So he took it to the jeweler. For the devotee, among the Rama Parivara is valuable, and in that Rama is extremely valuable for him. Rama is God. So he is going to sell them, feeling already very bad. But the jeweler, what does he do? When all the four Vigrahas are presented to him, what he does? He looks at them first and says, oh, they are beautiful and all that thing. But he puts them all in a balance and weighs each one of them. And he finds Hanuman's weight is much more than the other three, because Hanuman had a gada also. So in terms of his jeweler's angle, he values Hanuman's Vigraha the most. Whereas the seller's angle, Rama is God for him. He values that most. So from for him, Sarvatra is what? What drishti? Only gold drishti for the jeweler. And he prices according to its weight. And Hanuman with his gada weighed the most and had the high value. So similarly for the jnani, everything is only Brahman. Like the jeweler, he sees everything as gold. So for the jnani, everything is only Brahman. Brahmarpanam, Brahmagavihi, Brahmagnam, Brahmanahutam. So he knows that. So sanmatra thaya, that means what? Brahma rupena yeki bhavanti. Which means vikriyam na utpadayanti. As long as they are nama rupa pradana, they can shake your mind. But when they are Brahma pradana, they can never shake. They cannot make any change at all. So vikriyam na utpadayanti, such a person. Yeshaha yatihi. So Acharya says, as we mentioned earlier, Shankaracharya sees every seeker as a sannyasi. Actually, the entire portion, as we mentioned also earlier, is he has the sannyasi in mind. But we can call it a detached person, a mature person, a wise person, a jnani, a detached person. Such a viragi purushaha, such a person without any viraga, such a person vimuktaha. He is jivan muktaha. So that is what Acharya says. We will stop with the shloka here and continue in the next webinar. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya parasa maheshwaraha sri krishna arpanamastu narayana.